know the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. So maybe you'd help me out. I'm just going to use it as an introduction. Oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Thank you very much. Most of you here remember that old spiritual. And if you've ever heard it played by a good old Dixieland band, it will set your feet a-tapping, and you might even be tempted to sing along. My question to you this evening is, how many of you know the source and message behind these words? Well, believe it or not, the first reading from the book of Revelation is the source. And anyone who has tried to understand fully the book of Revelation will tell you there are many, many interpretations. The text describes a vision of heaven, a vision that features saints of God surrounding his throne and singing his praises. It's a very happy image. Can you imagine the joy of that day? Wouldn't you give anything to be part of it? So who are these saints in heavenly rapture and praise? Today, All Saints Day, gives us a chance to examine just what and who is a saint. Well, we have been privileged to live in a time where we have witnessed the elevation of many to sainthood, including, of course, Mother Teresa recently. And, of course, her canonization was a no-brainer. She was a saint on earth and now a saint in heaven. Does that mean that she was perfect? No way. But we'll get back to that later. In the book of Revelation, we are dealing with a broader definition of sainthood. We are dealing exactly who are the saints John is referring to. Is it possible that you and I could be counted one day in that number? It's important for us to recall the setting for Revelation. This will help us understand this very difficult passage. First, remember, John was in prison on an island, separated from his churches in Asia and Turkey. John's readers were facing hard times. Persecution was widespread. The first generation of believers were dying of old age or by the sword of martyrdom. John wanted to reassure his churches and those remaining that their plight did not go unnoticed. He urged them to hang in there. He urged them to believe that God had the ultimate power, not the government of the time, and that the kingdom of God would triumph over evil. So he tells the people that in the midst of the upheaval, God's people were sealed and numbered. You know, seals were very important then. Kings and officials of the first century sealed important documents to preserve them and to verify their authenticity. Seals of many forms still are used today. And God has sealed us with his love and the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. The biggest confusion in this reading is the issue of numbers. And if you are a fundamentalist, heaven will be restricted to a chosen few. 144,000, to be precise. Not very many, is it? In fact, the number is symbolic of completion and perfection. We've got to remember that the number 12 was a special number to the people of God. We had the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, and the number 1,000 was the largest number in the Greek numbering system. So 12 times 1,000 was not just a large number, it was a symbol of God's complete people. It's very sad that this number has been misunderstood throughout the years. Some groups based their whole theology on a restrictive and exclusive interpretation of this special number. What really sad is that this group of people include themselves in the exclusive number and exclude all others who do not agree on every point of doctrine with them. So the 144,000 is not meant to be exclusive, but rather inclusive. Notice and read for yourselves when you get home. Verse 9 in Revelation. Listen again to it. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could count. You see, the point is not that we can count ourselves in and others out. We are not in charge of the counting. It is the width of God's mercy that we depend on. Remember that Jesus told us that every hair on our heads have been counted. Even so, numbering is God's way of reminding us that none of us will be overlooked or lost or left behind by mistake. Like a teacher of preschoolers on a field trip who carefully counts each student to make sure that none is lost, or the shepherd who counts his sheep lest one go astray, the second point of this passage is that the saints point to God. Notice the activity of the saints around the throne of God. They are worshiping him with praise, with thanksgiving, and with joy. That sounds like Mass to me. And when we gather here and worship and praise God, it's a preparation, a kind of a rehearsal for heaven. Yes, our worship is incomplete. Our faith is incomplete. Our journey is incomplete. But we are here every Sunday and Holy Day to stay on that journey. And remember that the saints in heaven were as fragile and as broken in their earthly lives as we are now. They were no saints. Listen to this gem. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. The point is not to romanticize sainthood too much. Saints have learned that their lives here on earth, both in church and in the world, points towards God. We do this with words, with good deeds, with love, always bearing witness in a very humble way. Finally, it all boils down to trust in God as the saints did, even when we are not sure of what's going on in our lives. Remember, John was in prison, yet he envisions a great freedom. His people are being persecuted for their faith, yet he sings of God's salvation. This is the mystery of faith that the saints hold, and a faith which holds the saints. Who are these saints? John asked the angel in his vision. The angel answered, they are the ones who persevered. They were not always perfect. They were not always sure, but they believed to the end. And at the end of the day, it's not our sacrifice which enables us to stand with the saints. It is the sacrifice of Christ. So trust him. Point others toward him. Rest secured in the knowledge that you are precious to him. And when you think about it, doesn't it make you want to tap your feet, smile, and sing along? I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. The final words, who was it said it? Bernard Shaw. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. That's us.